This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The heated debate over the Boston Firefighters contract, a cool new arts collaboration between the ICA, the ART, and the Huntington Theater. We've got both this hour, plus a conversation with Green Rainbow Party candidate Jill Stein in our special series with the Massachusetts gubernatorial candidates. Comment on all of them at WBUR.org/Boston and on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. But first today, we start with the latest on two major federal raids in the greater Boston area. FBI and U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement agents swarmed a Waverly Avenue residence in Watertown and a Harvard Street gas station in Brookline. Two men were taken into custody. The raids were made in connection to the attempted Times Square bombing and in connection to its chief suspect, Faisal Shahzad. Governor Deval Patrick spoke about the arrests within the last hour.
Now, I know that people are concerned since the attempted bombing in Times Square. And for that reason, police have stepped up their surveillance and their vigilance at public facilities and in large crowds. I'm satisfied that all appropriate precautions that should be taken have been taken.
WBUR's Sonari Glinton was at both locations in Watertown and Brookline today. He joins us now. And Sonari, what did you see up there?
Well, let's start off with Watertown, which is where I began my morning. At 6 a.m., federal agents apparently... Federal FBI agents and ICE officials swarmed a two-story house and took into custody a man. An eyewitness says he was of Middle Eastern descent and between the ages of 25 and 40. Vincent Lacera was the witness, and we have tape from him.
And I heard an FBI agent scream, "FBI, put your hands up." Two of the FBI agents went into the house. They brought out a suspect. He was a Middle Eastern man, and I said he was like between 25 and 40.
And apparently you also saw them gathering computers and documents from the houses as well?
Yeah, they took out computers and documents. Also in Brookline at the same time, agents took over a mobile station where they were concerned with a silver Honda in the parking lot. And apparently the idea is that there may be connection between the house and the mobile station.
Okay. So as we mentioned at the top of the show, two men were also taken into custody. They're both of Pakistani origin. What do we know about why they were arrested?
All right. What we know so far, one man has overstayed his visa. The other was trying to get his visa changed. But they both seem to have a direct connection with Faisal Shahzad, who was implicated in the Times Square bombing attempt. This is a part of an overall FBI and immigration investigation, and it's about transfers of money. There's no indication that while there is a direct connection between these individuals, there's no indication of whether or not they knew about the transfers of money that they made were connected with Faisal Shahzad.
Okay, and these two locations were just part of a larger effort in multiple states, as you said, today, other raids as well. Just remind us where those other raids took place?
There were the two in Boston, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and Long Island, New York, and they're part of this information that they got from Faisal Shahzad after he began speaking to authorities.
That's Sonari Glinton. He's reporting for WBUR. Sonari, thank you so much. And for continuous updates on this story and for a map of the locations where the raids took place today, you can go to our website, WBUR.org/Boston.
I am 100% opposed any contract that does not include random drug and alcohol testing.
Mayor Tom Menino said that back in 2008 when the city was already 2 years into contentious contract negotiations with the Boston Firefighters Union. The push for drug testing gathered strength after two firefighters died in the line of duty in a 2007 West Roxbury fire. Autopsies later revealed one firefighter had alcohol, the other cocaine in his system. This week, Menino got what he wanted. An arbitrator drew up a contract that requires Boston firefighters to submit to random drug and alcohol testing. But in return, they get a 19% pay raise. The city had asked for 14% hikes. The arbitrator's decision has drawn intense criticism, some of the strongest of which comes from a member of the three-person arbitration panel itself, Leominster Mayor Dean Mazzarella.
I just know it's not right, and I know that the taxpayers of the city of Boston will be paying for this forever. And they won't be, they're not getting an explanation as to what happened and why.
Well, now it's all in the hands of Boston City councilors, who can choose to fund or reject this contract. So how do you think the council should vote? What's your thought on a 19% pay raise for Boston's firefighters? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining me in the studio now is the Boston Firefighters Union president, Ed Kelly. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mr. Kelly.
Hi, Magna. How are you? Glad to be here.
Great to have you. And also from the Boston Municipal Research Bureau, it's a group that's doing their own independent research into this contract, is Sam Tyler. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mr. Tyler.
Thank you.
Mr. Tyler, let me start with you. Actually, I'll get to you in a second. I just also want to let listeners know we're going to hear from a Boston City Councilor as well a little later in the show. But Mr. Tyler, let me just start with you. There have been a lot of numbers flying around in terms of how much this contract is going to cost the city. We've heard anything from $74 million from the mayor's office to $39 million. That's what the arbitrator says. So who's got it right?
Well, I think it's a matter of which years you count. I think that basically the city's numbers, the administration's numbers include the 4 years of the contract, but they also carry over costs that kick into the fifth year, mainly because in the decision or the award decision, on the last day of the contract, the arbitrator added 2.5%. That's not paid in that year. It's really paid the next year. So the city is adding that to next year, as well as the other costs that carry over. I think the union's number is more specific to the 4 years, and I'm not sure that they're counting the same items either.
Mm-hmm. And if I understand correctly, the arbiter said that 2.5% wage increase, part of that increase, which is 2.5%, was in direct connection with the agreement to have random drug and alcohol testing. Essentially, it was quid pro quo.
Right.
And, I mean, is that something we've seen before in other union contracts for the city of Boston?
Well, it depends who you talk to. I think, you know, the administration's perspective with the police contract, for example, in 1998, the contract provided for drug testing, but it also provided for the Quinn bill, and the police officers agreed to zero increase in 2000, zero increase in 2001. That was the quid pro quo, basically, for the Quinn bill. And then I think that there's the EMT contract where there was drug testing a part of that contract. I think there was also an agreement of the administration to not oppose moving from group one to group
oppose
four.
Or support, Sam. You got to start telling the truth here.
Well, Mr. Kelly, I'm going to get to you in a second, I promise.
That basically moving from group four, which is more beneficial for pension purposes.
Okay, let me just ask a simple question, which I think is on everyone's mind, and then I'll turn to you, Mr. Kelly. Does the city have the money to pay for this firefighter's contract?
I think the crux of this issue is not so much does the city have the money for the 4 years of the contract. I think the issue is what is the cost in fiscal 11 the next year, and what implications does that have for other contracts? With the 2.5% added for the fifth year or for fiscal 11, that will influence other contracts as well. So it's not as much an issue of can the city afford the 4 years of the contract. The question is, what will be the financial implications of the fifth year?
Okay, and then the future financial implications of other unions in similar contract negotiations.
If you start off with a base of 2.5, then all the other unions, particularly the four police unions, will expect to start there.
Ed Kelly, head of the Boston Firefighters Union, thanks for sitting tight here. Your response, your initial response to what you're hearing Sam Tyler say?
It's all spin. You asked Sam Tyler a direct question. Can the city afford to pay this contract? And he didn't answer you. The answer is yes, they can. The city's own position in their legal brief is that they can afford to pay the award that we proposed, which we got an award less than that. The city has the money. It's not, that's Sam's spin over here about how the police didn't get anything for drug testing, that there was more to it. The facts are the Quinn bill was in direct correlation for agreeing to a drug policy that is not random. The EMS union got moved to Group 4 with direct support from the mayor in writing to the legislature, to the city council, adopting, putting forth that order to the State House, which has a 10% value to each EMS employee in direct exchange for drug testing. There was also a 3% on the base directly added to the EMS contract for drug testing.
You know, on the other hand, Mayor Menino says that in terms of what the city has set aside for payments for binding arbitration and new contract negotiations, he says that actually there isn't enough money.
I think he's lying. I think the mayor is not telling the truth. The facts of the matter is this city's taxable property value has more than doubled in the last 10 years. From $51 billion to $126 billion. We are not Buffalo. We are not Detroit. We are not Fall River or Lawrence. This city is doing very well financially.
But we are Massachusetts that has Proposition 2.5, which limits how much you can raise in property taxes.
Excuse me. Right. So the point is the city has ample reserves set aside. They do not allocate those reserves. They take money out of the general fund to pay for operating budget that those reserves are there for. This city has money and can afford to pay it.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the other hand, the city is also facing having to make major cuts in other services. The BPL has Boston Public Libraries have a $3 million shortfall. They're going to close 4 branches. They're having to lay off custodians from Boston Public Schools. So, I mean, it really does seem like, from what we're hearing, that in order to satisfy the contractual obligations that come with your new contract, that further cuts are going to have to be made in other parts of city services. Is that what you want?
Magna, that's exactly what they want you to believe. The facts are they've been talking about reorganizing the libraries for years. They've been trying to outsource the printers for years. They're laying off the printers and they're just going to outsource that work. They're laying off the janitors so that they can privatize their work. This is just a reorganization by the mayor. I work with these people. They represent them. They're friends of mine. I understand. They know what's going on. They don't bite into this spin out of the Menino administration that they can't afford it. The city's got the highest bond rating in the history of the city at the height of the greatest recession since the Great Depression. How do you do that? Don't take my word for it. Read the bond prospectus, Standard & Poor's, Moody's.
All right, well, there's obviously a lot more to get into, and we will just after a short break. Ed Kelly, head of the Boston Firefighters Union, please stand by. Sam Tyler as well, please stand by as well. We're going to talk to a Boston City Councilor in just a moment. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking today about the Boston Firefighters contract and the controversy that it's thrown up and the next move that belongs to the Boston City Council. A little later this hour, we'll also talk to Green Rainbow Party candidate Jill Stein in our latest in the series of interviews with the Massachusetts gubernatorial candidates. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's actually go straight to the phones. Ryan's calling from Chelsea. Welcome to Radio Boston, Ryan.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What's your thought?
And I can take my comments off the air. Just with all the cuts that are going on in different city services, and you know, with the state of the economy everywhere, I'm just curious how the union in good faith can demand a 19% pay increase for agreeing to undertake drug testing that, you know, this was really all brought on by an accident that was caused by two people who tested positive for drugs. It just doesn't really add up for me.
Ryan, thanks for your call. Ed Kelly of the Boston Firefighters Union. Let me also just add a little bit to what Ryan had to say. Most people aren't ever in the past year or so seeing anything like this kind of pay raise. In fact, wages have been stagnant. And I think a lot of people out there are also thinking, why should there be any benefit for firefighters who should be expected to come to work clean and sober to begin with?
Valid questions. And let me start by saying this award does not give us a 19% pay raise. It gives us 16.5% is what the award does. There's existing contract language that if you qualify for longevity benefits, will increase it over the 16.5%. Same as in the other contracts, in the teachers that have step raises that got 14%, if they qualified for steps, if the police officers that had Quinn benefit qualified for Quinn benefits got over a 14% in their raise. You have to get back to the fact that we have not had a raise since 2006, and we can reasonably assume that we're not going to have another raise with this administration. This contract's going to have to suffice our families from 2006, probably until 2013. And the fact that we should be showing up to work clean and sober, the city of Boston deserves to know that their public safety officers are clean and sober when they come to work, and they absolutely should be, and we're glad to have it. However, by an analogy, if in pattern bargaining, if the city gave the EMS union 3% to show up on time and the police union 3% to show up on time, and then told the firefighters, you just show up on time, or you're not going to get paid, that's not fair either. That's not equitable treatment.
Sam Tyler of the Boston Municipal Research Bureau, I see you shaking your head here.
Well, first of all, if you cost out all the details, because it's a very intricate contract that has a lot of different factors to it, it is a 19.2%
for every
increase.
Person in the bargaining unit?
Not every person on average.
Thank you.
But there are some, and you know just as well, it's because of TCAP, which the first 4 years firefighters aren't eligible. I think the other issue is that it's the fiscal context that this is coming in, that Boston is facing 2 years of fiscal uncertainty with local aid cuts in fiscal 11 and even deeper local aid cuts in 12. And that's one of the issues I think the council has to recognize is what is this contract going to drive in spending in a time when there isn't going to be a lot of revenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the city council, and actually all eyes are on those councilors because they're the ones who get to vote whether or not to fund this new contract. So joining us now is John Tobin. He's Boston City Councilor for District 6. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mr. Tobin.
Thanks for the invite.
You're going to vote yes to this contract, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Well, I put my trust and faith in the CEO of the city, the mayor of the city, that when he asked for binding arbitration, that he knew the ramifications, and his administration should have been more upfront with the taxpayers of Boston, what the city council is, and what those ramifications were, that you could win and his offer could be accepted, or you could lose. And I've been on the council for 9 years, and I recall back in 2004, we were brought in on a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. On a full formal city council meeting to fund the contracts of the firefighters and the patrolmen and the EMS officers so that parties during the DNC would not be disrupted. I do not recall one call for a hearing or to be sent back to collective bargaining or to arbitration. Didn't receive one call or email to that effect. So I don't see how this is any different. And I think that, you know, the drug and alcohol issue, people to suggest that there's a 19% raise, which is not 19%, but to suggest that there's any type of that full raise there just for drug and alcohol testing, they're mistaken, and they should read the documents out there. You know, the fact of the matter is that this contract, the Union 718 and the administration had reached an impasse on August 1st of 2007. That was a good 13, 14 months after the expiration of the contract in 2006. It wasn't until a fire in my district at the Taiho restaurant and the reports of the two firefighters who perished came out,
that
drug and alcohol testing became an issue. And I went on record at the time and said I would not support a contract that did not have drug and alcohol testing. The mayor has said it during his State of the City address, so I don't know what the issue is.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, there has been a lot of criticism of the city council, mostly because, aside from you and a few others, no one's really saying anything about how they're going to vote. So there's this charge of being gutless, that basically the council is afraid to tell the firefighters union no. I mean, we gave a 14% increase to most other city unions, but we don't want to give you the 19% because, quite frankly, in the long run, the city cannot afford it.
Can I just correct you, Magna? They didn't give, if you're going to call this award a 19% raise, you can't say that they gave 14% to the other bargaining units, because those police officers with Quinn got more than 14%, more like 18%.
Okay,
teachers with step raises got more than 14%.
Okay, let's agree at least that the firefighters' contract as it stands now includes a pay raise that's higher than most other unions got in their most recent contract negotiations, okay?
I agree.
What do you make of the charge that the council is afraid to say no to the union?
Well, people can paint the council with a broad brush, and I can only speak for myself, not for my 12 colleagues who I know and like and respect, but they have their own agendas, so you'll have to have them on the show to explain themselves. I've come out and said that I would vote to fund the award if it was zeros, because I respect binding arbitration. You know, a lot of us, when we're running for office and seek union endorsements, one of the questions we're asked verbally or on paper is whether we support binding arbitration and collective bargaining. And I do. And I've said that effect since before I was elected to office. Mm-hmm. I lost twice for this office. And by the way, I was elected to this position in 2001 without the support of 718 and without the support of Mayor Menino. So I came out as an independent voice, and I was beholden to nobody. And last year when I went for 718's endorsement, I was unopposed. So my fortunes did not rise and fall in the endorsement of 718.
But on the other hand, if I understand this correctly, it's only the city and the mayor's office that's bound by this contractual obligation. The city council is not. You're supposed to serve as an independent voice, kind of coming in and saying, is this worth it or not for the city of Boston? On the other hand, I hear you when you say you want to respect binding arbitration, mm-hmm. but by doing so, aren't you just giving all the other unions complete incentive to only dig in their heels until they reach the arbiter stage of any future contract negotiation?
No, because I think the personality dispute here between this administration and certain unions, this being one of them, is intense and somewhat of an anomaly. So I think this contract, before it went to binding arbitration, there were many, many close calls on this to get this thing settled. And I think after that fire and the reports came out of the firefighters, I think that drug and alcohol testing was used as a wedge issue. Certainly the court of public opinion switched on behalf of the administration. And the mayor, when pushing for binding arbitration, I believe should have been more upfront with the mm-hmm. taxpayers and with the city councilors.
Well, we've got a lot of callers on the line who have strong opinions on this. Let's go straight to them. Tim's calling from Roxbury. Welcome to Radio Boston, Tim.
Oh, hi, Magna. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
As a taxpayer, I kind of like the idea of moving away from the public service unions and privatizing the fire department, the police department, the teachers. It just seems like at the end of the day, we spend so much money on this stuff. The representatives from a lot of the unions seem thuggish. We pay too much for the services, and there's sort of a corrupt element between how they end up getting their salaries, which are often quite exorbitant, and the relationship they have with the politicians. I just don't like it.
Mm. Tim, thanks for your call. Mr. Kelly, Ed Kelly, respond to that.
I disagree that we can privatize emergency services. I don't think that that's a sound avenue to go. I don't think it ever was, certainly not in the post-9/11 era. As far as the exorbitant salaries we allegedly make, you know, the public sector did very, very well for a long time. We have civil service jobs. The theory is you're never going to make a lot of money, and we don't. We make my salary from the city is $74,000 a year. I live in this. I'm mandated to live in the city, and it doesn't go that far. Mm-hmm. And you know, we put our lives on the line every day, and that should be worthy of a decent paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, a yes vote from the city council on this package would bring us up from a firefighter up from $74,000 a year to what a city councilor makes at $87,000 a year.
Amanda's calling from Apping, New Hampshire. Amanda, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Magna. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's your thought?
You know, for my job, I need to submit to drug testing, and I don't get paid anything extra from that. And I'm just wondering, you know, why these firefighters should be any different from anyone else who lives in Boston and has to submit to drug testing as well. Why should they get paid for it when no one else does?
Amanda, we'll pick up your, we'll get an answer to that in just a second. Let me sneak in another call here as well. Frank's calling from Back Bay. Welcome to Radio Boston, Frank.
Magna, thank you. I just want to say my wife has been in the private sector for quite a long time. In the last 5 years, she has not received one increase in pay. She has not received in the last 4 years anything towards her 401k because of the economic conditions. Now, I'm a union man. I'm a Teamster. I've been a Teamster for over 15 years. But what I've seen this union, the firemen's union, do, holding the city hostage, I think is applicable. You should come to work and be drug tested. Anyone who works in your line, putting your life on the line. That's the end of story right there. Being rewarded for it, that's not in the cards. You need to come and do your job. I understand you're supposed to live in the city of Boston. I live in the city of Boston. I know it's not easy to live here, sir, but to hold the city hostage as you have done, the police union has done, we've had nothing but problems with the police union and getting in some of the police officers on it. We've had problems with firemen coming to work in not the best of shapes to be working on this.
Frank, we hear your passion, and let me just get a response here from Ed Kelly of the Firefighters Union. Thank you so much for your call, Ed Kelly.
Frank, as far as the problems that you've had in the city of Boston with police officers and firefighters, they put their lives on the line every single day and do an excellent job. Now, whether or not we deserve to be paid to be drug testing is a matter of equitability with other unions. The city, Mayor Menino, has already negotiated to pay more to have city employees drug tested. Why should this portion of city employees not be entitled to that?
This seems like it's going to be the core of the ongoing debate, but if I can turn to Sam Tyler of the Boston Municipal Research Bureau, look into your crystal ball if you can with us in the next year or two. You said that this is a precedent-setting contract with the firefighters in terms of future negotiations that the city is going to have to go through. What is the fiscal future for Boston and its unions in the coming years?
Well, I think certainly for the next 2 years, where Boston is facing local aid cuts, deeper local aid cuts in fiscal 12. And the firefighters contract sets a new higher base for the next year, fiscal 11. And all the contracts are going to expire in fiscal 11. And for the four police unions, you know that their starting point is at least 2.5%. The city has, the administration has put in its budget no more than less than 1% for all the other unions beyond what they are paying the firefighters. So it's going to really require cutbacks in other services, going forward. Not in terms of paying this 4 years of the firefighters contract, but because of what it means in terms of future costs for the city.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for Sam. How much money? What was the interest on the money that the city? The $48 million that the city has set aside for our contract. How much money did the city make by not settling with us for 4 years?
Well, how much did they lose by your not paying for health insurance? So
$4 million, but they're getting that back retroactively.
You know, these details are ones that we could absolutely dive into, and actually going forward, because this story is not going to end, I'd love to have all of you back here, but let me just throw the last very brief question to John Tobin of the City Council. This contract, as it stands, expires at the end of June 30th. Is the council going to take a vote before that?
That's my hope. That's my hope we'll do that. But again, this contract is about the past 4 years and not about the future. So as far as I'm concerned, everybody starts with a clean slate moving forward.
All right. Well, that's John Tobin. He's Boston City Councilor for District 6. Thank you so much for being with us today. Ed Kelly, head of the Boston Firefighters Union, Local 718. Thank you for being with us as well. And Sam Tyler, president of the Boston Municipal Research Bureau. Pleasure to have you on Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Coming up, a conversation with Green Rainbow Party gubernatorial candidate Jill Stein. What's your question for her? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. This is Radio Boston.